Today's gospel is not about the rapture, in case you were wondering. The rapture is a very common belief that's filtered into Protestant theology. Roughly about 150 years ago, it started to become popular. But it's the belief that there's going to be a secret coming of Jesus Christ, and he's going to rapture away or take away his faithful people from out of the world. And everybody who's left behind will have to suffer through the final tribulations. So this gospel is one of the passages they use to support that, because it says two men will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. So hopefully you won't be on a plane if the pilot's raptured away one day, because that wouldn't end well. But it's an interesting idea, but it's completely false and it has no foundation in Scripture whatsoever. If we look at the entire context of this passage, all you have to do, this is from Matthew chapter 24, you just have to go back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, and read what Christ is talking about. And what he says in that verse, he says, "The Son of Man will come upon the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory, and he will send out his angels with a trumpet blast, and they will gather his elect." So what he's talking about is the second coming of Christ at the end of time. It's going to be, at that time when the final judgment is going to happen, and it'll be the end of this world. Our Lord is talking about a massive worldwide event, and every single human being is going to look up and see Jesus Christ returning from the clouds of heaven. This is not going to be a secret rapture. This is the end of the world that he's talking about. And the trumpet blast, everyone's going to hear that trumpet blast. And I assure you, quite a few people's hearts are going to skip a beat or two on that day. So this is not a secret rapture. This is the second coming of Christ at the end of time. And all you have to do is read the full chapter to see that. And the disciples ask Jesus, when is this going to take place? And that's when he gives today's gospel. He says, we do not know the time, so be ready. Advent is a time not only for the preparation for the first coming of Christ 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, but it's also a time for preparation for his final coming. And what better way to prepare for the second coming of Christ than the sacrament of confession? I know there's many people who go to confession regularly. I know there's other Catholics who go usually during Advent and Lent. And I know that there's a lot of Catholics who never go to the sacrament of confession or who haven't been to the sacrament for many years. And so I want to address this morning one concern that people have with the sacrament of confession. And that is, what is the priest going to think of me if I go in there and confess? We're saying all the terrible things that we've done. What's the priest going to think? Or is the priest going to judge me? Is he going to think less of me because of these sins that I've committed? And the first thing I'd say is you can go to any priest that you want for the sacrament of confession. You can go to, and you can also go behind the screen. So the priest doesn't need to know who you are to forgive your sins. The priest just needs to know that you're sorry, that you've made a thorough confession, and that you're willing to do your penance. And so confession can be anonymous. And the second thing is, I have heard literally in my time as a priest, thousands and thousands of confessions. There is no way that even if I wanted to remember all that I could. I'm lucky if I know after someone walks out the door what they said, but I don't know if it's a special grace from God that's given to priests or short-term memory loss. But either way, I figure I'm good. But more importantly, and more to the heart of the matter, what is a priest thinking during the sacrament of confession? And I can only answer this for myself. But when I'm hearing confessions, the priest is going to recognize that they're there as an instrument of the mercy of God. In confession, the priest hears the sins of people who are alienated from God. Some of them are in a state of spiritual death if they've committed a mortal sin. Some people have been carrying those sins and that guilt for many, many years, sometimes decades. And what the priest sees is the moment in which they come and they repent and they turn away from those sins before God. And as the priest says the words of absolution, the power of God flows forth. And at that very moment, as those words are spoken, that person is reconciled to God, their soul is brought back to life, and the grace of their baptism is restored. I'll often look at the crucifix. Each one of our confessionals has a crucifix behind the penitent. And a lot of times as I'm saying the words of absolution, I'll look at the crucifix because I'll be thinking about the reality that the fruit of the passion of Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed on the cross, is being poured forth at this very moment for this person. That Jesus Christ would have given his life for just this person, so that they could be forgiven. And when I hear big sins confessed, and as a priest, oftentimes I'll sense the damage that that sin has caused, and how much turmoil has been brought into that person's life, and how much guilt they carry with them. And it's so powerful to see the mercy of God being poured forth, so that when that person walks out of the confessional, they're freed. These sins have been removed from them. Their guilt is gone, and that they're reunited with God, and they can walk away truly experiencing the peace of Christ. You know, and as a priest, I want that for everybody. I want everybody to be able to experience that healing and that reconciliation with God. You know, there have been a number of times as a priest where I've heard confessions, and you know, someone's confessed, you know, maybe some large sins. And there have been several times where I've thought to myself, if this was the only thing that I did as a priest, if I went through all the years of seminary formation and took all the promises that we take and all the sacrifices to become a priest, if the only thing that I ever did as a priest was hear this one confession and then I died after that, it all would have been worthwhile. Because that one person has just been reconciled to God, and they've been given a second chance for salvation. And to think that that person could experience eternal life for all eternity because of what happened at that one moment in the sacrament of confession, it would make it all worthwhile. And so as priests, we're not there to judge the people that are coming in. You know, we're there as instruments of the mercy of Jesus Christ. And so I encourage everyone, especially if you've been away from the sacrament for a long time, or if there's large sins that are weighing on your soul, things that you feel that you know you can't confess, to reflect upon the power of the mercy of Jesus Christ and to take advantage of the sacrament of reconciliation. We have a penance service this Thursday evening at St. Patrick. It'll be next Thursday here at St. Mary of the Woods. Check the bulletin for those times. But I encourage you to take advantage of this incredible opportunity, especially during Advent, a time for us to spiritually prepare for when we'll meet Christ, to take advantage of the incredible gift that the Lord gives us in the sacrament of confession.